The director of Loki confirmed the character is gender fluid. Dove Cameron explained why the live-action Powerpuff Girls pilot is being reshot. And privacy advocate Robert G. Reeve joins us with the cold hard truth about how your data is really being tracked.
It's June 10th, 2021. Hey friends, I'm Casey Rackham.
And I'm Stephen LeConte. Welcome to BuzzFeed Daily. Casey, have you seen the magnetic woman on Twitter?
What? No, I haven't.
Okay, this is going viral right now. There's this woman, she was testifying about the vaccines like in front of like a board of Ohio representatives. She's a nurse, by the way. Anti-vaxxer. She saw these TikToks. It was like this like TikTok trend of people pretending that the COVID vaccine makes you magnetic. Okay.
Oh, no.
Now, again, this woman who is a nurse, a medical professional, saw this, believed it. So there's this video of her testifying before the House, and she takes out a key and a bobby pin. And I guess it's supposed to be like this big, like, aha, dramatic moment. She sticks them to her body to be like, see, I'm magnetic. But of course, they just like keep falling off of her.
Oh my God, because she's not magnetic.
No, she is not magnetic because, by the way, let's just call this out. The COVID vaccine does not make you magnetic. But it's just so funny.
I love that she fell for a TikTok. That she fell for it.
You would think she might give it a whirl before doing it in front of like a crowd of thousands
of people. Yeah.
Anyway, get the vaccine. You will not become magnetic people, okay?
Okay, so moving on to some exciting Marvel news that I personally love. After much speculation, Loki is confirmed to be gender fluid in the Disney Plus series. This comes as no surprise to fans of the show who were quick to point out a file that lists Loki's sex as, quote, fluid during a recent teaser. After all the talk online, director Kate Herron told Insider, quote, he's gender fluid in the Norse mythology and the comics, and it felt like an important thing to, as you say, make sure it's canon. Actor Tom Hiddleston, who portrays the character in the MCU, said he's always known about Loki's gender. He told Inverse, quote, breadth and range of identity contained in the character has been emphasized and is something I was always aware of when I was first cast 10 years ago. We were very aware. This is something we felt responsible for.
I mean, could there be better Pride Month news? I'm so into this.
It's so good. And wait, can we talk about how it's the complete opposite of J.K. Rowling just be like, yes. And Dumbledore's gay.
Right, exactly. Yeah, J.K. Rowling, take a lesson. You know, and I will say, I know there are some people online who are thinking like, oh, like it's just Marvel trying to be woke or whatever.
Right, exactly.
It's important to recognize this is actually like canon in the comics. This is true to what was already in the comics that this character is gender fluid. I think it's really exciting.
I think it's so exciting. And I'm honestly, if anything, I'm upset that I didn't know about this. Like Tom Hiddleston knew about it 10 years ago, but I'm just finding out now. But it makes so much sense because I think my roommate like asked me the other day and she was just like, she's like, Loki's bisexual, right? And I was like, duh, of course. And it's like, I have no idea behind that. So I'm like, yes, he's bisexual. Yes, he's fluid. I love it. One is canon, one might not be, but.
Yes. It's like, I didn't know it, but as soon as they said it, I was like, yeah, I felt that in my bones, you know? Well, meanwhile, Dove Cameron explained why the live-action Powerpuff Girls pilot is being reshot after CW executives called it, quote, too campy. In an interview with Entertainment Tonight, Cameron clarified that the reshoot isn't due to the fact that the script leaked earlier this year. Cameron noted that, quote, we had to reshoot it anyway for a couple of reasons. In this case, those reasons included that the tone of the show didn't quite hit the mark. CW CEO Mark Pedowitz said of the reshoot, quote, it didn't feel as rooted in reality as it might have felt. But again, you learn things when you test things out.
This has been just such a freaking journey from start to end. And I do, you know what I think's really funny? Okay, I'm sorry that I don't have pictures to show on a podcast, but there were these pictures of the three of them behind the scenes on the set, and they were in these like really campy, like Halloween store versions of it. And everyone was like, it must be for flashback. But I was sitting here, I don't know, those might be their costumes. And I'm like, if they were their costumes, then yeah, it makes sense that this was too campy.
Yes, I saw those pictures too, and I was very confused. It did not look like a television wardrobe budget.
Right, exactly.
I also do have questions when they say it didn't feel as rooted in reality as it might have felt. I mean, it is a Powerpuff Girls television television show, right? Like, how realistic could that possibly be?
It's real, Steven. It's real.
Well, now I'm just looking forward to a very realistic version of the Powerpuff Girls, because I can't begin to fathom what that's going to look like. Well, moving on. As you may remember, a couple of weeks ago, we stumbled upon a tweet thread that shook the BuzzFeed Daily team to its very core. Robert G. Reeve, a privacy advocate and content strategist, basically confirmed what we all knew, that our devices are always watching us. We just didn't realize how always. It was a cautionary tale that all began with his mother's toothpaste.
Basically, after a week-long visit with his mom, all of the sudden, Robert started getting ads on his phone for her specific toothpaste brand. The problem is, he never Googled the toothpaste or even mentioned it out loud. So how could his phone possibly know his mom's toothpaste brand? We'll let Robert break it down. Hi, Robert. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I am glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Your thread absolutely destroyed me. Something similar happened to me. I had no clue what was going on. I was like, why is my phone giving me these advertisement for these shoes I've never Googled, never heard of before, that I only found out about because I was at my friend's house who just bought them. You completely blew my mind. And you know, as someone who knows more than your average person about data and privacy, were you surprised when you saw these ads all of a sudden, or did you realize right away what was going on? What was your reaction?
I got a lot of what you said in like the feedback to my tweets. A lot of people who were like chiming in with their own anecdotes. And I wasn't super surprised to see an ad for my mom's toothpaste. And I think there are a lot of different reasons it could have happened. But the reason I wasn't surprised was because like I have a background in like digital marketing. At my last job, I was on this like small team that did web design and email marketing. And that's where I learned like how all this advertising stuff worked. Email marketing is a little different. There's like tracking pixels, this like little tiny invisible dot in every email that you get. And these are like the metrics by how ad teams like can tell if you opened an email, if you clicked a link in an email. And that showed me that advertising has like a pretty deep set of surveillance.
Great.
And yes. And email isn't exactly what was going on here and isn't really what I talked about in the tweet thread, but that's like one piece of the pie. In the time since then, I've gone on to be like a content designer, which is just like this fancy way to say like it's like an expensive techie way to say a writer. And I think that writing about this specific issue as it was happening to me, like I wanted to write about it like clearly and simply and try to explain this complex thing in a way that like anybody could get it. Because I think a lot of people talking about this get a little too technical.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, as if this surveillance that you've described wasn't bad enough, and by the way, it is bad enough, but your story really took it to another level for me. Essentially, you described how like our data is rubbing off onto our neighboring devices. So can you break down for listeners exactly how that happens?
When you are connected to like a Wi-Fi, you have like an address that's it's called an IP address. It's just like your street address for your house, but like it's for the internet instead of a physical location. Our devices have things in their apps or things in the operating systems that can collect all kinds of data, like a unique serial number. And advertisers can use codes like these to find patterns across many data sets that are collected. So they can look to see what other devices are in the same IP address as you. This is just like one way, and this is all called like metadata, like data about data. And all of these things that are like not the behavior you're doing, they're not recording like your conversation, but they are like taking note of like where you are when you had that conversation and who else was there when you had that conversation. And then they can compare that to like, what are your friends searching? So if you didn't directly search for something that you talked about, maybe your friend searched for it. And that's how it connected an ad to you, is it knows that connection, that relationship that you have with that person.
Yeah. You know, so as much as we've come to terms with the fact that advertisers and apps are always collecting data from our phones, I don't think most people realize the extent of it. You know, data is being pulled from everywhere. Can you remind listeners how easy it is to be tracked in general?
a couple of years ago, like the thing that got me really like paying more attention to this was Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah.
Yes.
Steven.
I just saw a documentary about this. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Just to recap. Just to recap the story like really quickly. This political consulting company created a bunch of innocuous looking personality quizzes. And they look like quizzes you might take at work, like the Myers-Briggs corporate astrology things. And Cambridge Analytica built this custom app that they called This Is Your Digital Life. And it was all one word with no spaces. It looked like a Tumblr user account. And they paid people to take this quiz. But to take the quiz, you had to log in through Facebook. And you've probably seen like on a ton of websites, a little button that like for your convenience, instead of making an account there, you can log in through Facebook. And that's the trick. That boring little screen that you click through as part of giving those permissions, the app can collect basic Facebook data about you or can collect your contact information. And that like one innocuous little screen is how Cambridge Analytica started doing all this data harvesting. It could look at everything you've ever liked on Facebook. It could look at the words in the posts that you liked and look for patterns in those words. And all of this is like the technical, like the jargony term is like behavioral micro-targeting, which is like just like so creepily benign.
I need to let everyone know how much I hate all of this. I know I'm smiling right now, but it's through the pain and anxiety.
Yeah, it's like a nervous smile, yes. like a chimpanzee smile. Like, oh, this smile is aggression.
Yeah, like, okay, all of this is enough to almost make you, like, second guess these conspiracy theories that we've all heard. Thankfully, we can rest assured, I think, that our phones are not actually, like, listening to us with microphones. But can you confirm, because a lot of people say, like, oh, like, they must have heard me talking to my friend about this. Are they listening with microphones or no?
I am really glad you brought this one up. No. And I think one of the reasons that like this post hit like 100,000 retweets is specifically because I mentioned microphones. People want to believe this because it's this superstition that you can hold close. It's like it's a simple answer that explains away this complex problem.
And I think one thing that you're saying, which is, I think, a point that people should understand, is like these companies don't have to use the microphones because the methods they do have in place to track you are quite effective.
Yes, they have all of these other little bits of data that like they don't need the mic. Like I think that they made like calculated decisions. Like the mic would be too creepy.
Yeah, I feel like it's like they're like, no, you don't need to tell me you like cats and tequila. I already know that, and I've known it for months.
Yes, exactly. And like the knowing it for months thing is kind of important too, because like
I just said that on a whim. Okay, continue.
Let's say like summer is coming up, and you are shopping for a swimsuit, and you wanted a specific like brand of swimsuit. It can look at what you were searching for last year. I say it. It's like I'm making this sound really monolithic, but like there are data aggregators. There are like individual advertisers and individual companies. So it's like there isn't like one entity that's doing all of this. It's like a bunch of like interconnected groups looking for months. Like they can look back at historical data that you've given them in like when you opened their emails, when you clicked on their ads a year ago, and like, hey, it's summertime. You're probably looking for another swimsuit. Let's serve you up another ad again.
Yeah, that makes sense. And scary, I hate this all. Well, everyone, we will be right back to have Robert scare the shit out of us even more. Welcome back. We're talking with Robert Reeve about data sharing and ads online. You know, as much as this stopped us all in our tracks, it's not as if this hasn't been reported about. Why do you think this isn't more widely known in general? Do you think the lack of concern is a matter of the public not caring, or have we just given up and accepted that we're going to have our data tracked no matter what?
I'm kind of a cynic, so I said that I thought people had kind of given up on this in my thread. And I got some pushback from some people on that. And I think the fact that like the thread got as much attention as it did is also evidence that maybe my cynicism is misplaced. Maybe people actually do care. But I think that people feel powerless over their individual ability to change this big system. I think it's like, in many ways, it feels like I'm too far gone now. I've had a Facebook profile for years. If I delete it, they're still going to hold on to all that data. What difference does it make? In for a penny, in for a pound.
That's how I feel, to be honest with
you. No, it is. I feel like this is just one example. I think this was 2 years ago where there was this app on your phone that turned you into like a younger version of yourself or an older version of yourself. And people were like, don't do it. It's going to take like your facial recognition. And my response was, someone already has that. Someone already has my face. This is it. Let me play the game.
Right. Yeah. And I think you're touching on like some of the actual bigger concerns I have. One, tech companies, they've designed systems so vast and so complicated that tech companies don't even fully understand what they're making anymore. That's how things like Cambridge Analytica happen, is like they've designed a system that's so vast and someone found a way to exploit the system and get away with it. Two, bad actors can find a way to exploit the system for profit or power. Thirdly, like some systems are designed in a way where like the crackdown on bad actors would harm the custodians of that system. Like, I can't say how good Twitter could be at purging bot accounts, but they do have an incentive not to, because bots inflate their traffic numbers and traffic numbers inflate their valuation.
Well, you know, recently Apple provided an update that lets users block app tracking. Do you see big tech stepping in more like down the line? And how do you see their role in this playing out in the future?
This is really interesting. I think there's a lot of like prognostication around here. Facebook is really mad about some of Apple's ad blocking stuff that they're putting into apps. And Apple is doing more. Like I told you about like the email tracking pixels. Apple is cracking down on that now too. The iOS 15 update is going to destroy the ability to like track who's opening your emails, who's clicking on things. So Apple's taking this like very like pragmatic security stance, partly because like their business isn't as ad driven as Google's or Facebook's. So they're like, if Google or Facebook was trying to do this, they'd be shooting themselves in the foot a little bit.
Okay, so I am a cynic as well, but I'm also a cynic who doesn't mind being surprised. I can be hopeful sometimes. So what's your advice on what we can do at this point if we want to be proactive about protecting our privacy? Are there things we can do to ward some of this tracking off?
I use ad blocking extensions. I browse the internet with Mozilla Firefox. It's a little more privacy-minded as a browser. But honestly, all of these individual actions that we take can only do so much, because if our friends are not using those things and they are leaking our data through those connections we talked about, we can't control that. I think that the only thing that we can actually do is support younger, tech-savvier politicians who have a better understanding of how these systems work, who have strong opinions on regulating tech companies in a way that makes this environment a little less creepy for everyone.
Robert, this has been both terrifying and really, truly enlightening. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that's it for today. Come back and join us tomorrow.
And remember, when we're talking about someone having a magnetic personality, we don't mean that they got the COVID vaccine, but you should get the vaccine.
Be sure to subscribe to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you go for your sound stories.
And please take the time to leave us a rating and a review. It helps us figure out what you like about the show versus what you love about the show. And remember to come back for more of what you love about BuzzFeed, coming to you daily.